Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Episode numero 4 of Political Persuasions. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're listening to this. This is Mike O'Mara, along with my co-host, Mr. Chris Freitz. Hello, Chris.
What's up, Mike?
A different week, a different mood. I will tell you, jubilation in the Republican ranks as their signature piece of legislation, tax break for the wealthy, gets passed. And for you. Well, we'll get into the weeds with that because, to be honest with you, this is where we go into the wonk world, and we will. I'm going to need a tremendous amount of help because trying to read as much as I could about this, trying to follow as much as I could about this, my brain begins to hurt. I feel the same way I feel when I go to my accountant's office.
Oh yeah,
I'm starting to go a little bit crazy. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the tax bill. We're going to talk about the midterm elections. We are going to also discuss the midterms as far as how they will be affected by this legislation. We got judicial nominations to talk about. We got the Mueller probe. But before we do anything else, Chris, it is the holiday season.
It is, in fact.
And I thought it would be
already
a really
cracking
good idea.
Yourself up.
I laugh at my own jokes. That's what I do. You had indicated that, by the way, that lovely, lovely intro that we play from the classic Broadway musical 1776, which was the signature music for Political Persuasions. And Chris Freitz arrived on our doorstep and immediately said, "You know, what are you playing that old stuff for?" And I know you wanted to maybe have the music updated.
Yeah, it's a little Yankee Doodle-ish. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, it just feels like generic Americana.
The way I looked at it, it's like it had the drums, it had the fifes.
Independence Day parade? Come on.
Well, in my fife and drum, we had a fife and drum corps in my hometown that would play every Memorial Day, and they'd wear the ye old colonial, I'm a New Englander, you know, and they'd wear
three cornered hat,
the ye old, they wore those, and they had that. Rob Spiewak, who is graciously producing this program, and hello, Rob, I know we don't talk to you very often. Do you have your microphone turned on today?
I would like to say hello to all political enthusiasts.
Rob is here, and you know he's our resident musicologist, and I know that Chris, you had asked to maybe tweak the intro music. So before we get to any of the nuts and bolts today, I thought we would get that out of the way and see if we can maybe settle on something here. You know,
I have four selections that I think you would be pleased with, Mike.
Really?
If you wanted to bring sort of the show into the future, or at least the current.
Is one of these legitimate, Rob Spiewak? Is one of these ones that Freitz gave you that he thought it would be good and you liked it?
Let's make it a game.
Yeah.
You can choose the one that you think Freitz chose, and then you can also try to pick out the ones that I think you would like. First off, what do you think of this one?
All right. Now you're just being silly.
No. Stupid. Dude, I don't know. I'm in the mood, baby. I'm in the mood.
What does that have to do on any level with the United States or political discourse?
Political mood is important. You have to gauge the political mood of America.
All right. Yeah. That's gone. I don't want that.
Oh, you don't want that? How about this one?
One of my grandmother's favorite songs.
How about
really?
This one?
Yes.
That's good.
I'm
getting feedback and personal questions about you from, believe it or not, my bride. She wants to know, how young are you?
Oh, look out.
Are you one of those TV guys that's, you don't like to reveal that information?
No, I don't care. How old am I? You can see me. How old am I?
You're much fitter than Rob or I, and I constantly talk about my age because I'm old and failing.
How old are you?
I'm 58. I'm 58 years young, and I would guess you to be 23.
See, that's just offensive. That's like, I'm not a girl. You don't have to pretend like
I'm
young.
You have that Oscar vibe, though, where you're just like Mr. Youth and stuff. What's this old music you brought in here? Right. Like I'm going to say, Rob, I'm going to defer to you. How old do you think Freitz is?
36.
36?
Very close. 38.
38?
Yes.
So he's right in that Oscar zone.
Yep, exactly.
All right. He's right in the middle of the DB 30s. That's what it is.
You be nice. He's your
I'm sorry. All right, I get it. Now I get it. Now I understand.
The DB30s? Is that?
I don't know whether it's
my camera.
I'm
living my best life here, okay?
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I'm happy. I'm at the end, okay? And I'm at the accelerated end as my body begins to fail. My Christmas gift is an MRI. That's how pathetic my life is right now, ladies
All right,
and
speaking
gentlemen.
Of Christmas, what about All this right. music selection?
All right, another music selection. I didn't like the first one.
This
Put
is
that
great
away.
For the winter season, okay?
All right, here we go. Welcome to Political Persuasions. No, and he didn't pick that one.
No, he didn't pick that
one. Well, you know, a lot of times politics, they focus on optimism, and that's what people want, right?
Are you segueing into the next tune?
How about this one?
I feel like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Welcome to Political Persuasions. No,
and all the ships at sea. Now, it's like Walter Winchell.
But I will tell you, here's some trivia. Was that not a musical, a song that was also a slogan for a campaign?
I believe
that was an FDR campaign song.
No, I think it predates him.
Was it JFK?
I think it was Hoover. Actually,
was it
really?
I think it was Abraham Lincoln.
It was General George Washington.
I think it was Lenin.
All right, here's an art. This is not Robert Cray we're listening to right now, but this is Robert Cray, and here's another choice.
Oh. Is that the one he brought in?
Oh. Yeah.
It's not has anything to do with politics. It's what Chris Freitz likes to listen
to. No, listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, listen.
Taxes okay.
Gonna break my back, I swear. Don't you know I pay a lot more than my share? I hate taxes.
Oh, I hate taxes for,
this show.
Oh, for this. You want to customize the music to every show.
You know, I think our listeners deserve a little some effort. You know, a little
right,
effort.
You know what?
Us, you know?
I'm out. You take it up with Rob Spiewak. If you want to do that, that is absolutely fine. I see you gave him a little thumbs up there. You like
right.
that, Rob?
I actually,
if you
like
want to work
song.
With him and have a theme every week, I'm cool with that. It's fine with me.
Mike, I love music. I know that.
And then we'll have the lazy week where we just have like the filler. It's like, we didn't have one. So
okay,
here's
Here's
one.
Something from John Philip Sousa. I thought you would like this song.
And it segues into our tax discussion. See, that's what I like. I like my bumper music to like bring us in to where we're going.
Turn your music down. I want to turn mine up. Okay. See, this is the full version of the overture that I brought in here. Now, I know you think it's fifey drummy and stuff, but it's just
He's like,
17...
Wait, you got to hear this build, man. You got it's epic, man. It's going to blow your flipping mind.
No, it's not going to blow your mind, but it's kind of like, forget it. I'm turning it off. All right, that's it. I'm fine with whatever you want to do musically.
Do edibles come with your back pain? Is that you got to listen to this build, man.
I'm high as a kite right now. That's what I am. I am flying. I'm high on ecstasy. As we do that, and marijuana and PCP as we do the show. Let's dive in. All right, well, whatever you want to do with the music is fine. I do want to dive into this tax bill because, Chris, I will tell you, much like the American tax code, I am
befuddled.
Confused.
Yes.
I am confused. Even when I'm watching the pundits try to explain what's happening here, I wonder, even from my team, if I'm getting the straight deal.
Nobody knows anything. Like the
is
people,
that true?
Yes. The people in these green rooms who go on television to talk about taxes have read the same newspaper articles you do, unless you're talking to an economist or a CPA who actually does and lives this stuff for a living. They don't know what they're talking about.
But in broad strokes, you would say this is significant legislation that will affect all Americans inevitably, correct?
Absolutely.
So this is a big deal. It's just
big
a question
deal.
Of how it's going to do that. What I put aside here, I took some notes over the last week, knowing that I would be.
I'm so proud of you. You did
coming
notes.
In to see you. I decided that I would
Man,
take these notes.
Man, you got
notes,
to be prepared and everything.
Yeah, I'm prepared. Well, I'm the
one with the notes usually. I mean,
I read the bill. I read the bill, Chris.
Unlike many members of Congress.
Yeah, I read the bill, and I singled out some items here that were in the tax bill, the Republican tax bill. I didn't realize there's a $50,000 tax credit for students going to Harvard or Yale. Just for Harvard or Yale? Just for Harvard or Yale. No other university. That's pretty special, isn't
that
it?
Is there you go. I love that. I'm pretty sure it's track? Not be, in there. Pretty okay. sure right. that's... Well, what else did your readings tell you, Mike O'Mara?
A reduction of the corporate tax rate to zero. Is that what it is? It goes to zero? So any major corporation that makes a lot of money will not be taxed at all? Is that the way that's going to go down? Is that it? Is that what's going to happen? Is it doubling the property tax for all senators from Vermont? Is that what happens?
Pat Leahy loves it. He loves paying
okay,
taxes.
Very good. Implementation of a new thing called the peasant tax. Is that, well, is
yes. That, in fact, the rags that you wear are doubly, you know, every tatter is taxed individually.
Look at this little detail, making the Cayman Islands into a state. I didn't know that that was going to be included in that. That's so very smart. Now, getting back to this whole thing, are we screwed or not, Chris Freites? Are we screwed or not? The common folk. I'm not talking about right. the richy riches, but I'm talking about you, me, the guys in the trenches, the guys that are doing the work. Because I'll tell you, I understand the way I understand this bill is there's something good right off the bat. Everybody's going to get a little break.
Everybody
and then by 2025, we all get boned. That's the way I understand
well,
that.
I mean... That would be one interpretation. You know, certainly, okay. you know, so to break this out, right?
The, so objective, it makes me want to puke.
I know. Right. That's I love this. My favorite part of it, actually.
Okay, because
it just kind of irritates you. Like, oh,
we're
just,
screwed. I feel like we're getting
a tax break, and you're like, oh my God, we're so screwed. Like, only you, Mike, could be like, oh God, please take more of my money. Like,
well, no, wait, I'm getting a tax break, but and being serious here, the way I interpret this is the richy riches in our society, the very wealthiest people, are getting a massive tax break, and the fact is that the entire tax break is going to contribute to the deficit, which inevitably is going to be bad for the country. That's my simplistic interpretation of this Republican tax bill, and I'm prepared to be educated.
I love it. So MSNBC, that like if you've been watching MS, then you know that's where you're at. And let me break
it down.
I watch
them all, Chris. I watch CNN. I sometimes watch the Fox. No, I don't.
Yeah,
I can't lie.
Fox.
I'm not going to lie to you. We've worked together a short time. I might as well not start lying.
No,
right
I
away.
Mean, that's just There's bad no for him. Because
I watch
lying.
A lot of the stuff, and I watch a lot right. of the clips, and I've seen a lot of the senators, for example, Mark Warner, and just coming out and saying this is a terrible piece
right,
of legislation.
Because this is going to be what they're going to message against. So let's break it down, right? What the bill does is, you're exactly right, it gives a permanent tax break to corporations. So it brings down their tax from 35% to 21%. That is permanent. Now,
I have a question for you
yes,
right out of the gate with
okay.
that. So you say permanent.
Yes. Forever.
I look at legislation in America much like one would look at a contract with anyone, that contracts are meant to be broken. My question to you is, when you hear the word permanent, if you get in the midterm election, somebody new coming in, it can be changed, can
well,
it not?
I mean,
when you
nothing
say
nothing in life is permanent, my good okay. looks or otherwise, you know what
permanent
I mean?
Permanent as like long as they're in power to keep it permanent, right?
Yeah, well, permanent as long as like it doesn't get redone, right? Like, so
right.
Okay. The point being that it doesn't sunset, unlike the individual taxes. So they also lower taxes for everybody. They lowered the top tax bracket from 39.5% to 37%. They brought down taxes for everybody. They helped small businesses that are pass-throughs. They did a bunch of tax reduction that is temporary, in as much as you rightly pointed out, it sunsets in 2025. Why did they do that? They did that because they wanted to pass this on a party line vote, and the rules of the Senate say you can't increase a deficit outside of 10 years. So we're going to sunset those cuts after 10 years. Now, you said they're going to go away. I would take a different view on that politically, that this will look a lot like what we saw with the Bush tax cuts. And you remember the fiscal cliff where, you know, mm-hmm. a couple years ago we almost went over it a few times.
Yeah, Bush tax cuts that worked out so well.
Right. That I got to spend New Year's Eve with a bunch of octogenarians in the Senate. It was a really rip-roaring good time when the champagne popped in the press gallery. Woo!
Right.
Yeah, I mean, no, fiscal cliff. But the point being,
problematic would be the word I would use.
Right. But they extended those tax cuts, right? Democrats were like, well, look, you got to raise taxes on rich people, but we'll keep the tax cuts for everybody else. And that's what happened. So that will be what the political pressure is in 2025. It will be a tax hike
unless they extend those again. So that's what they're setting up here. So, but in the same way,
but also, can I just interrupt you for a second and say this? It's to me though, who you know, they didn't say that. Well, the word sunset, and I certainly love the jargon. I really love. See, I learned that.
You did. Exactly.
They sunset these tax guys. Yeah. Why did they sunset on my little beach party as a middle-class person and not sunset the corporations? They're not going to sunset the corporations because that's who this is for. They're not going to sunset these. They're going to sunset on John and Joe Q. Public out here. Well, that's the way I look at it. Why did they pick us for the tax cuts?
Two reasons. One, if you're a Republican, economically, they'll say, we believe these tax cuts are going to create jobs, economic growth, and we want to create that certainty for business that they haven't had. Second is politically, it would be very tough if they flipped it and sunset the corporate tax to then come back and say, well, we want to give corporations a tax cut. It's much easier to say, well, let's give the American people a tax cut. And so that's politically kind of what they're betting on down the road as Republicans. Republicans want these things to stay in place as long as they could. And if the rules allowed them to jam it through on a partisan line and make them permanent, they would have. They didn't, so they settled for the next best thing.
One of the things I hear a lot about this legislation, Chris, is that what they did was they rushed this through. Obviously, everyone knows they did. It was a strict party line vote that got this through. A lot of the people that are knocking this legislation are talking about the fact that hearings were not held. They didn't have experts talking on it. They just rammed this through. And the polling is showing, of course, that this is overwhelmingly unpopular with the majority of people in the United States. And look, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I understand that I could be wrong. I could be saying what the spin is coming from the Democratic machine. I'm perfectly accepting of that fact. But I think when you have anything that is rushed through, then there are going to be problems, especially when you're talking about, say, what, 12 days from now, which they're saying is absolutely impossible, that they want this to take effect as soon as possible. I think I understand the answer to this question, but why the rush? Is the rush because they didn't think they'd be able to do it any other way, or is the rush because they wanted the big win and that mattered more than doing the thing correctly?
Both things, and the idea that, look, Republicans have been talking about tax reform and holding public hearings on it since they took the House back in 2010, Mike. I mean, it didn't get a lot of attention because there was a Democratic Senate.
But doesn't it work where they have this particular kind of legislation? When you're talking about a bill, you have to propose the particular legislation, and then you have hearings on that particular legislation.
Sure.
They've been having hearings on tax reform.
And they did that, and they pushed it through as quickly as possible. And frankly, it looks a lot to me like what the Democrats did with health care reform. It was on a little bit longer of a timeline. They started in July and passed it in March, but that was largely because Teddy Kennedy died, and they lost that supermajority in the Senate, that it got held up. They were trying to push that thing through before the end of 2009. This is the way that governing has started to happen in America right now.
If you're going to make a change, you have to do it with your own party because there's not going to be compromise.
Because it's not going to be compromise. And that, I think, is the bigger problem, is if this had been something, you know, if Democrats and Republicans had gotten together on Obamacare, they both would have owned it. Same thing with taxes. If Republicans and Democrats had gotten together on taxes, they both would have owned it. This, to me, seems like the negative of the picture that was taken with Obamacare. It's a Republican push-through initiative that has no Democrats on it, and Democrats are going to go after it. They're going to use it as a political tool to then swing back the majority their way, so then they can do things their way, and people will get pissed at that, and then swing it back and forth. That pendulum keeps swinging back and forth because nobody's coming to the middle to compromise and create consensus. So instead, to your point, they just shove this stuff through because they can. They need the big legislative win for a president who has been winless his entire first year,
which the rest of the country could care less about. I don't care. And, you know, in fact, that of all the things I hear, that is the thing that probably bothers me the most when I hear about, we wanted to get that big win. We wanted to do it before Christmas time. That's all the stupid stuff. Look, I can argue with you or who whoever all day long on whether this is going to be beneficial for the country. I've explained, I think, probably in the first episode that we did of Political Persuasions that, you know, I root for one team because I just don't trust corporate America. I just don't think that corporate America is going to take this incredible gift that they've received from Congress and turn it into wage increases for the American worker.
Well, that's why they're giving bonuses out. Did you see?
$1,000 bonuses for everybody.
$1,000 bonus. So let's say, why don't we check their profit ledger and see how much money they're going to make on this? I really do. I don't think that that's the way it's going to roll. Now, where I will yield a little bit is when you're talking about the potential for stimulating the economy. But stimulate. I still don't think that stimulates. Stop it. Boy, you're becoming a shock jock. I don't think the stimulation of the economy is going to result in something that's going to help the people that need help the most, which are the vast middle class, the shrinking middle class, the people like me that are out there now. And we're worried about our health care. We're worried about whether we're going to have Social Security when we get old. I'm closer to it than anybody in this room. I worry about all that stuff, and I don't trust them, just like I don't trust corporations. I don't trust the people that are kissing the butts of corporations, and that's what worries me about that. And what also worries me is the fact that they are so about the win. They're so about the victory and looking good that I think that a lot of the details, the important details that maybe a little time should have been spent on, have been lost in the shuffle here, and that could result in problems for the country economically as well.
Well, I think your view that this is not going to create the kind of growth that Republicans are promising is echoed by a bunch of the nonpartisan scorekeepers on Capitol Hill and by economists generally, and that will cause the deficit to increase. I think you're right about that. And we had, you know, Mike, I asked listeners to ask their questions to me at Freights on the Twitters. We had a couple of questions come in on taxes.
You sounded old there when you said on the Twitters.
Well, that's because I'm hip and with it, so I know I'm making fun of it. See,
yeah, so on the Twitters.
It's very meta of me is what was what that was.
Took me about 2 months to actually say that correctly. You know, Twitter me. No, it's tweet, Mike. It's tweet. Twitter me.
It's a series of tubes. the internet.
Well, you know, now that it's the primary method of the president for communicating, we should always get that right. But I'm glad that people are corresponding with you, and I know you wanted to bring some of that in.
I did
today.
Because Dirk Vastrick at Spokane
Progress. Oh my God, Dirk Vastrick, I know that guy.
Dude, he had a lot of questions, Mike, but I brought him up because he's echoing your point here, which is, you know, since the ultra rich own a disproportionate percent of stocks, who wins on corporate tax cuts and stock dividends? That was something interesting to watch because he's right, you have to have a 401k, you know, to partake of the stock market or own stocks. Most Americans don't. And so while President Trump has been saying, you're going to love your 401k, it's going to be great, that's not going to help most Americans because the savings level in this country is so meager that most people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're not saving.
Do you think there's a disconnect there, Chris? Do you think that there, that because that to me is a significant disconnect when the president comes out and makes a statement like that, that kind of lends credence to the people that say this president is out of touch with the common people of America.
Well, I think everybody is, right? I think the difference between everybody who has a 401k, working white collar people who have 401k, K's wouldn't imagine that most people don't have 401ks because it's just kind of issued to you when you go and work for corporate America who you
but
despise
don't
and don't
you
trust so much.
Think now you're driving me nuts. Don't you think?
No, I love it.
Don't you think that the president of the United States should be informed enough to understand that fact? Well, you know what? What am I talking about? Because even if he is informed, he's going to conjure it. He's going to spin it the way he wants to spin it anyway. So I retract the question. Thank you very much.
So another thing in this bill, Mike, is that you won't be able to write off your state income tax and your property tax, which is not a problem for someone who lives in Florida. But for many of us who live in high tax places like Washington, D.C., New Jersey, New York.
People that voted for Hillary Clinton, by the way.
Exactly. And we heard from pain in the ass fan at Hernandez Steve. And he says, I'm from California, and I'm hearing journalists reporting the new tax bill will be bad for people here because we're a high tax state and won't be able to deduct state taxes. Why don't they report that we voted for higher taxes? So it's our own fault that taxes are high. And so there's an interesting take. Hey, our representatives have high taxes. I think the answer that I would give, number one pain in the ass fan, is that when state legislators make those decisions, they also are offsetting the impact to families in those economic studies with the deductions. And they're saying, okay, well, if we increase taxes by this much, after a family deducts it, their increase will only be so much. So that's the difference. But
that's where my brain starts to hurt. That's where I go, bleep, 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 and right. I get crazy. But you know what? The good news is, since I read the bill, I still have a couple of my little facts that
what
I pulled
else,
out
what
of
else
the
did
bill.
You find in your very studious reading of this bill?
Here we go. We have a family tax bonus in this legislation if a sick relative agrees to just die.
Oh, that's
isn't that sweet? thank you for the laugh track. I appreciate that.
There was a whole Christopher Buckley book on that. It was fantastic.
Is it true that there is a retroactive unlimited tax credit refund to all New York City commercial real estate owners? Is that true? Is that it? Thank you. Thank you very much. Is it true that a quarter pounder meal at McDonald's is now tax deductible?
Hey, I want to tell you.
So I know where the president's McDonald's is. I think if anybody gets any news out of this and you come visit D.C. on New York Avenue, a few blocks down the street is right. The president's McDonald's. That's where his people go to get his quarter pounder. And I think that is
so
news.
Wonderful. I'm so happy.
Use.
I'm so happy that he his palate is as sophisticated as his legislation.
I don't know if there's a play place there for him, though.
Yeah, you know, it's. This entire thing, I think we can both agree that we're going to have to let some time pass to see where it shakes loose, but not as much time as one might imagine, because they're trying to get this thing. I'm hearing February that we're going to have some of this stuff go through, that they want to get this implemented as quickly as possible. Is that what you hear?
Oh, it's going to take place in 2018. This is going to change our taxes next year. I was talking to my accountant earlier this week, and he was trying to explain to me, well, does this mean I pay more in taxes or less in taxes? And the answer was, it kind of depends. So the IRS, mind you, the way this plays out, the Congress passes a law, then the IRS has to come in and write all the regulations for, well, what do we think all these things mean? That is a long process. It's going to
be that can't be done quickly, correct?
It's never done quickly, but you know what? This is how we're going to be living. In much the same way, you know, we had Obamacare and all those exchanges popped up, and then everybody tried to sign up and the exchange crashed and it didn't work. I mean, that's always what happens with these big pieces of legislation.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, it leads us on now to the 2018 midterms. And you're hearing also on the Hill that this is going to be a huge issue for Democrats going into the 2018 midterm. This is related to the tax legislation, Chris. My question to you would be, we won't see any significant changes in the economy by the time the 2018 midterms come into play here. Do you see this as the Democrats latching onto this tax legislation and using it to campaign against Republicans in 2018?
Absolutely. They're going to make the case that this is a giveaway to big corporations and they're nothing leaving scraps for the middle class, and that's why you need Democrats in control of Congress. But I don't know that nothing will happen to the economy. I mean, if we go to war with North Korea, for instance, like, all bets are off, right? So, I mean, we're 10 months out.
You say that like it's not a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
It just makes that hair on my arm. Yeah, we go to North Korea, that'll stimulate the economy. Oh, my God. Everything will be fine. We'll get our tax cut and we'll have a war. Right. Wow. Happy days are here again. Everything. Oh, my God. What's happening? What is happening? That's why people... the world.
Oh, well played, Rob.
The world is crumbling. The world is crumbling before our very eyes.
It's always crumbling. That's the deal.
Oh, that's a fatalistic attitude. I am filled with hope. I love my fellow man.
It's up to each generation to rebuild it, Mike.
Yeah,
and that's
what
Republicans are doing by giving you more economic freedom and freedom from taxes.
Now, see, the thing is, let me tell you about Mr. Chris Freitz. You know what he was doing just there? He doesn't necessarily believe that because he's Mr. Objective. What he does that, he's saying that to work me. He's working me. It took four shows. He's coming in here just to work my ass. That's what he's doing. But I am frustrated because when I see the Richie Rich lovers high-fiving each other and Paul Skinny Man Ryan banging his gavel.
Don't hate him just because he could do the P90X. You hate him because he can do P90X and won't throw his back out. So yeah, I know what this is based on.
Oh, that's so cruel. So cruel you are. But I have to say this. Would I hope that maybe... I don't know. I'm not going to say it. I normally in a situation like this would say, I hope I'm wrong. I don't hope I'm wrong. I think that this is what it seems to be on the surface, is what it is behind the curtain. It is a massive gift to the wealthiest people of our nation. They got it done. Everybody,
right. Told us for years that if we gave them control, this is exactly what they would do.
But it's been done before. It was done with Reagan. It was done with Bush. It doesn't work because, and let me tell you why it doesn't work, because they don't give the money back to the people that need it. They don't produce more jobs. They don't produce more opportunity. What they do is they feather their own nest. That's the only way. I look historically, that's what it tells me. And when you get that, you know, is somehow 2017 going to be a different corporate mentality where they say, oh, a pay raise for everybody, bonuses as far as the eye can see. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one solitary second. And meanwhile, when you talk about rising the deficit, you're talking about all the issues that have to be addressed in the country, like infrastructure, which nobody seems to be talking
That's
about right now.
That's coming in 2018. Coming to a theater near you. I guarantee.
Tell me how that. Tell me how that's coming. Where do you hear it? Because I don't know. I haven't heard that that's coming in my movie trailer.
The Trump plan is coming through. It's going to be relying heavily on a lot of private investment coupled with public investment, and all those projects will compete against each other. So it'll be different than we've seen in the past where you get chunks of monies for roads.
When you say private investment, do you mean private companies are going to finance it?
Yeah, so there'll be matches.
What is matches? Like a wrestling match? What is that? I'm not sure what's going on.
So if you're looking
for... See, I'm dumb. You have to explain this crap.
This is why you keep me honest, because I talk like an insider and you keep me on the straight and narrow.
People would do that. Blitzer doesn't do that, but I do it here.
Happening now. Chris Freights, mm-hmm. What's going on?
Matching is what? When you
so,
say...
So what I've heard, and I've not seen the legislation yet, is that there would be, you know, the county and state governments would have to put up some money, and then they would be matched by the federal government for an infrastructure program, or they would have some private investment for a road that would then be matched by public and federal funds. So the idea that it's not just going to be, here's a bunch of federal money, go build stuff. It would be, well, we need states and industry to partner with the federal government to build things, and that will be a different approach to infrastructure. But I do think it's coming.
You think it's coming? Well, that's interesting. I'll wait and see.
But to your point,
you're gonna hold my breath though.
I wouldn't. But to your earlier point about the deficit, that's what is so interesting watching Republicans who have, you know, hound dogged Democrats on spending and Obamacare and keeping the deficit down.
They're called deficit hawks.
They are,
Chris. Well, I knew that.
Man, you are. You've been up here recently. You've been hanging out on Capitol Hill with your jargon.
I just want to bring that to the table. I'm paying attention.
And you know, Bob Corker was a guy who tried to, you know, make sure that it didn't balloon the deficit. But this thing will more than likely balloon the deficit based on all the
to screw future generations on the backs of the wealthy. That's wonderful. I'm going to ask you to put your prognostication hat in, since we're talking about the 2018 midterms. Will this be a massive rejection of this policy come 2018? What do you predict? What do you think is going to happen?
You know, I got to tell you, looking at the approval rating on this tax bill at 26%, I didn't think it was possible for something to pull lower than Obamacare. When Obamacare passed, it was at 48%. This tax bill is at 26%, which shocks me, because it's like, hey, we're giving you some money back. And everybody's like, it sucks. It's a giveaway to the corporation. So most people, I think, probably agree with you on this one. And when you look at, so this far out in congressional elections, pollsters often take what they call the generic ballot, right? A generic Democrat versus a generic Republican. Okay. And these numbers are stunning. There's some poll numbers. CNN had Democrats up by 18, Quinnipiac plus 15, Monmouth plus 15, Marist plus 13. I mean, there were the Wall Street Journal, NBC poll, Dems plus 11. My friend Jennifer Agesta, she's the pollster over at CNN, she wrote this week, that the 18-point edge is the widest Democrats have held in CNN polling on the 2018 contest and the largest at this point in midterm election cycles dating back two decades.
And so, last week's, we were talking about polls last week. My question to you would be, even when you say polls can't always predict what's going to happen, those numbers, you can't ignore numbers like that. Those are pretty significant.
Those numbers are starting to panic Republicans and are signaling a Democratic wave election. These were the kinds of numbers we saw after Obamacare. And when you think about it, there is a kind of, as I was saying earlier, an inverse here. It's an controversial, unpopular, huge program pushed through by one party who's then going to have to try to hold control in a midterm. Didn't work out for President Obama, and he had better approval ratings at this point in his presidency than President Trump does now. In fact, there was a presidential approval rating after the first year, and I thought it was very interesting. Trump is on the bottom of recent presidents. Bush in 2001 was at 86%. Of course, you remember that was right after 9/11. So,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. kind of huge presidential.
Sure, Kennedy, we all felt it.
Kennedy at 77. Bush won at 71%. Eisenhower, 69%. Nixon at 59. Carter, 57. Obama, 54. Clinton, 54. Reagan, 49. And Trump sitting at 35%. So he has the lowest approval rating in modern history. This is going to be really tough for them, I think, it's a tough road to hoe for Republicans, which is part of the reason why they felt like they needed to push something through to show that they can govern.
I get that. Well, we'll have to probably get to the whole Mueller thing next time, but I wanted to mention to you that one of the really underreported stories, I think you would agree with that, are the Trump judicial nominations and the fact that he has had a significant amount of success reshaping mm-hmm. the judiciary, and he's had some successes, and of course, he's had some failures as well. And you brought this to my attention, and we're going to play a clip right now from, I think there have been some confirmations, but there have also been some people that have well, let's just say they've missed the ball, Chris.
Yeah, so I want to set this up a little bit, Mike, because as you point out, it's the broader context here is, you know, you've heard a lot about Neil Gorsuch, his Supreme Court choice, but mm-hmm. underneath the Supreme Court, Donald Trump and the Republican Senate have pushed through a huge amount of judicial nominees that is reshaping the federal judiciary and making it much more conservative. And one of the things that Trump is doing, you know, he joked that, you know, I had some friends ask me if I would put him on the bench, and, you know, I told him no. Well, I didn't tell him no. I told people to tell him no, but I told people to tell him no because they're too old. He wants people in their 30s and 40s so then they don't age out. Remember, those are lifetime appointments. And so you're getting younger nominees than sometimes you normally would. And that's what's leading to some of these missteps. And in fact, the tape we have is a Senate Judiciary hearing last week. Senator John Kennedy, a Republican from Louisiana, and he was grilling Matthew Peterson. He is an FEC commissioner and somebody who was up for a federal judgeship. Just take a little bit of a listen here.
Have any of you not tried a case to verdict in a courtroom, Mr. Pitch? Have you ever tried a jury trial?
I have not.
Civil?
No.
Criminal?
No.
Bench?
No.
State or federal court?
I have not.
I would assume that sacrificing age and also sacrificing experience is something that's happening right here. Okay, he doesn't want him to age out, so he's bringing these people in that don't have any real experience. That's obviously what's happening here, right?
And this was fascinating. You know, imagine going to a job interview. Well, do you have any skills that
any
are
skills
applicable
to what we do here?
Right. I mean, you've never used a spatula. You don't know how to use a fryolator, and you want to be the GM for Burger King? I don't know about that.
Well, you know what? This is just a small bit of the clip. Let's play some more because I'm sure he came on strong at the end. Let's listen.
Have you ever taken a deposition?
I was involved in taking depositions when I was associate at Wiley.
I watched
Ryan.
One.
I first came out of law school.
I watched one when I was a law student.
Have you ever how many depositions?
I would I'd be struggling to
find one.
To remember
less than 10.
Yes.
Less than 5.
Probably somewhere.
Senator, under 100. I believe it's under 100. Significantly under 100. That's it. Yeah. Yes, Rob, you're chomping at the bit there. What do you have there?
I watch Matlock. And
okay, stop it. All right, stop. Behave yourself. That's it. Can we just play a little bit more of this? This is fun. I'm enjoying this.
Have you ever tried taking a deposition by yourself?
I believe no.
Okay. Have you ever argued a motion in state court?
I have not.
Okay. Well, and it goes on and on and on. Pretty significant stuff.
Yeah.
Right there.
I mean, basically, he was unable to even articulate things that a second or third year law student would be familiar with. And he made the case, look, you know, I run a team of lawyers at the Federal Election Commission. I don't do trial cases. But, Mike, you will be interested to learn that he has since pulled himself out of the race. We've seen two other nominees who were marked unqualified. We've seen from the American Bar Association, which ranks judicial nominees, four of Trump's nominees have been called unqualified by the American Bar Association. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a high number.
Have all of them been disqualified, or have any of them been confirmed?
I believe two of them have been disqualified, and I'm not sure if the other two have gotten through or are still waiting confirmation. But it really begs the question, you know, one of those guys was a guy who had just been a lawyer for 3 years or so, and didn't really have any experience, much like Peterson. So they really do, they have embarrassed themselves.
I mean, you know, I'm only a minute into a 4 minute clip. I'm sure he got some answers right. I'm sure he did.
Have you ever argued a motion in federal court?
No.
When's the last time you read the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure?
The Federal Rules of Civil Procedure.
That's like I answer questions. What is my score on this? I'm going to answer the question with a question, Your Honor. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a very, very, very sad state of affairs with that. We haven't seen that before. That's a new one. You don't usually, Republican or Democrat, you don't usually get people putting up people that have no business being in that hearing room. You don't. That is a Trump exclusive, Mr. Frates.
That is a Trump exclusive. And it was interesting because Kennedy is a Republican from Louisiana. He really grilled Peterson. And he later then said, well, he talked to President Trump about it. And Trump told him, hey, if I send anybody over who doesn't meet mustard, you know, get them out of there. And mm-hmm. The question really begs, why are you sending over people who might not pass muster? And part of that is right. White House attorney Don McGahn, and these are friends of his. These are people who have worked with him.
Yeah, the good old boys club.
The good old boys club. And so
just this, but also when you're talking about, he has had many successes getting some judges confirmed.
He is packing the court with conservative judges in a way that President Obama never did with the Democrats.
But in other areas of the government, we still have tremendous amounts of positions that have been left unfilled with
Absolutely.
This administration, correct?
Absolutely.
So he's focusing on the judges, but as far as like running certain government departments where he doesn't consider them all that valuable, we have empty positions all over Washington.
You know, I think you're just putting way too much emphasis on like walking and chewing gum. I mean, you know, you take a few steps and then you chew a little gum and then you take a couple more steps. I mean,
I don't know about that. Let's see what Spencer Peterson has to say.
In my current position, I obviously don't need to stay as
abreast.
invested in those on a day-to-day
basis. Sure, Spencer. Good job. You know that. Hey, listen. I don't mind.
Matthew
the guy doesn't
Peterson.
Have any of the
Matthew Peterson.
Matthew Peterson. Oh, okay. Matthew Spencer Peterson. Matthew.
I like that you're using his whole name, like his mother. Yeah. Matthew Spencer Peterson. Your performance was dreadful at the Senate Judiciary Committee. I want you to come in here right now.
Matthew Spencer Peterson, you go right to your room without supper right now. That is horrible. Hey, we got to wrap things up. I know that you have been getting, by the way, @freights.com, @freights, what is it again? I'm sorry. I
always forget what it is. It's very easy. It's my last name.
@freights.
It's hard to remember.
Send Chris. Don't send me any correspondence. I don't want to hear
he's
any.
He's a Twitter, like, you just don't exist. People, like, tag you in this
38,
stuff.
I'm 50. I'm 20 years older than you. Anyway, send him your questions, your comments, and we'll put them on the show on Political Persuasions. I want to thank everybody for getting these questions in, and more people, as each show is done, more of you are listening, which we're very happy about. We got to keep that number going up, but I know you you have another comment or question that you wanted to
share.
We do.
We got so many, Mike, that I can't take them all, but I thought this one by James Hammer was really great. He says, you guys are doing great work on Political Persuasions. Question for you. Who do you see as the favorite on the Dem side in 2020? Mike, who's your dream ticket? I know it's super early, but these questions come up over dinner with friends, and I would love your opinions. Keep up the good work. So, Mike, dream ticket. It's the O'Mara Dreamcast 2020. Whose inauguration do you want to go to?
Do you want my fantasy dream ticket, my unreality, my lack of reality dream ticket, or my real dream ticket?
Oh, I want your unreality. If the laws Something of political gravity didn't apply, this is who you would have. And then I want your pragmatist.
Well,
view.
It wouldn't happen because they're both dead. It would be Wilbur Mills and Everett Dirksen. That's who I
also,
would
be. Also, that's a
be.
Deep cut, and I'm very impressed, by the way,
with
the Everett Dirksen reference.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's it. Happy days, Everett Dirksen.
James deserves a real answer.
Here's James. This is the way I look at it, and I know he's old, and I know I shouldn't feel this way, but I'm not going to give you my Veep selection because I think that's got to be closer to the game. But man, I just like me the Joe Biden. I really do. I think that
Uncle
you
Joe.
Know what, Uncle Joe. There's something about Biden that
because you know he would have an open top Camaro in his inauguration.
Yeah, maybe it would. It would really. I think Joe Biden to me is still a guy that I think has it going on. But then, if you give me some time to reflect and to think about that, I would give you this answer, which is unsatisfactory. I just don't know yet because I haven't made a decision. If you ask me tomorrow who I'd want to see run against Trump, if there was a special election held tomorrow, I'd want to see Joe in there because I just feel like he should have run back when Hillary was running. That's the way I feel about that.
Well, I often wonder about that because, you know, part of the reason he didn't run was because his son died. And so maybe it was God saying we should have President Trump. Maybe that was God's way of saying when Joe Biden didn't run.
You know, that's a terrible message to leave our listeners with on Christmas. and it made me throw up in my mouth as well. But you know what? That's all the time we have for political persuasions. I wish you and the Freights family a spectacular holiday season. I've enjoyed the end of the year doing these shows with you, and more to come hopefully in 2018.
I am very excited to continue this in 2018, Mike. I hope the O'Mara Christmas is fantastic, a very great 2018, and I hope our listeners will keep coming back because we got more for you in 2018.
That's it for Political Persuasions. We will join you in the new year, and thank you, thank you, thank you for your continuous support, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to another episode of Political Persuasions. If you have a comment or question for Political Persuasions, they can be sent to @Freights on Twitter. That's FRATES.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.